Go ahead. Like ESPN Chicago on Facebook.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Is in Mount Prospect. Max, you're on ESPN 1000.
Let's get to Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. KB is awesome. Awesome. And I know it's a hot corner. How could you even think to... Javi Baez is the bomb. I mean, he is electrifying. He is out with the crowds. He is out just playing with customers, you know, fans.
He's playing with customers? Is that what you just said?
Well, I own a business, so I say customers.
Okay.
I mean, he's with fans. He's electric. He's got a street named after him. I mean, his defensive play, his offense might not be Chris Bryant. And I love Chris. Don't get me wrong. I hope and pray that the Cubs don't trade KB. But, I mean, oh, my gosh. Javi Baez, I mean, he is, oh my God, I would build a team around him. Oh my God. I would, if I had to choose, and I hate to say this because I love KB, I bought one of those $500 hats at the 1914 club.
Wait a minute, I want to hold back up here. There's a hat that costs $500?
Oh yeah. They, it was,
is there gold in the hat?
I think they made 35 of them, and I got number 23. And you buy them in the 1914 club.
I'll sell you my belt for $800.
Well, you know, I don't want the belt.
Okay.
I might want some of that fruit that you wash with the soap.
Definitely. I'll wash your plums, Max.
I mean, if I go to the store, if I go to Fresh Whole Market. And I buy a bunch of plums and apples.
Bring them to the station. I'll wash them up nice.
And that was just half the call. That was the caller of the year, maybe the caller of the last couple of years. That was Max?
Max.
That's not Mad Mac, who I know Mad Max on the line now. That was Max. I don't know if he's ever called before, but he says he's a big fan of the show and he listens all the time. And
he's great.
He was fantastic. People were talking about
Max. There were a lot of people that were
Max.
Very happy with Max.
Yes. A lot of people talking
about Max. Oh, my God.
He was very excited about the question, Javi or KB. If you had one contract, $250 million, who takes it?
Yep.
Do you want Javi or KB to take it? Talk about the contract.
Yeah.
Max was excited.
He was.
So...
KB is awesome. Awesome.
Did he say that Javi's the bomb, too? Like, my buddy CPD Bob always uses that lingo. The bomb.
The bomb. Isn't that old school?
Is that old school?
I think so.
My kids
used to use that. That's the bomb.
Like, that's like raising the roof from like 10 years ago.
I still
right?
do that. Yeah.
Do you raise the roof?
Occasionally. Super Bowl party, I'll be raising the roof.
Do you want to hear today? Tom Verducci was on Cap Show. And he talked about KB and possibly getting traded, but there's a lot here, and it could be hard for the Cubs to get a deal they want. Here's Verducci explaining that.
I'm just one of these people who thinks that there's been so much talk about superstar players being traded this winter, and most of it, if not all of it, is wildly overblown. I've never seen an offseason where you've had so many big-name players, whether it's Bryant or Lindor, Seager. I mean, you go on down the line, and Nolan Arenado now out there. And I had a couple of general managers tell me at the winter meetings, it's never been harder to trade a superstar player. Why is that? Because you can't get equal value from players like Mookie Betts and Chris Bryant. And you can't just dump those players just as a salary, dump the fans in those cities, especially who grew up watching these guys, the homegrown players. Wouldn't stand for it. So there's been a lot of talk about trading Chris Bryant and all these superstar players. I don't see it happening. Look back on history. You don't see major trades made once we turn the calendar into the new year. You know, once in a while, you might see, you know, Kenny Lofton for David Justice in spring training. But you don't see big deals come down once we get to spring training.
So that was Verducci. So he doubts that Bryant and Betts and Lindor will get traded.
Well, if that's the case, then you're going to see a bunch of teams getting nothing in return for guys leaving via free agency.
Well, I said this to you guys in the meeting. If there's a team that's in it and at the trade deadline, wouldn't you want Chris Bryant? Because not only you need a third baseman.
You would. You're just not going to get a ton for him.
You don't think so?
Not,
guys get, I mean.
I mean, what are you, not what you were, especially as you get closer. In the middle of the season, you're getting closer and closer to when he is going to be a free agent.
But there may be a team right now who may not view themselves as a team that's in it. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh my gosh, we're in it, and we're a third baseman maybe away or a power hitter away from really true and being a World Series contender. So then in July, all of a sudden, aren't you willing to give up your two best prospects? I mean, that's when the Cubs gave up
Aloy. Right. No, you're
that's
right.
That's when they gave up Cease. That wasn't an off-season deal, was that? That was at the trade deadline because they found themselves in a big need in a playoff race for starting pitching.
Well, they did the same with Chapman, too, didn't they?
Yes, and that's how the so like some of the best prospects the Cubs have given up, Gleyber Torres, Aloy, have come at the trade deadline. So wouldn't another team that really finds themselves in it and in that's a dogfight for the division, and then like the bonus is you get KB for another year after that. You're not just trading for 3 or 4 months of him.
Yeah, I don't know what. I still, something tells me Castellanos is still going to be a Cub. I don't know why.
Some people were tweeting again. I don't know how factual it is that Castellanos is waiting around for the Cubs to clear that money. But the Cubs can't clear the money until they find out about Chris Bryant's future.
Well, you just saw, what was it? Ozuna got 1 year, $18 million.
Right. And, you know, the Cardinals tendered him. So that was like 1 year, 17 and a half.
Right.
So now the Braves have to give up a first round pick, but it was for 1 year commitment. That's not terrible.
No. I don't know what they're going to do. I think that Castellanos, there's still a good chance he'll end up on the north side. I'm interested to see where Arenado goes.
Yeah, because a Passan wrote an article that now it's becoming less about him being upset that they're talking or were talking about a trade.
But they're doing nothing.
And now, right. And now they're not doing anything and they may be rebuilding. And he was of the belief that they weren't going to be doing that when he signed the deal a year ago. Then now he may demand a trade. Now he may want to be traded instead of it being, oh, well, he's pissed that his name has come up in trade rumors.
So there's still some stuff that could happen in Major League Baseball that would be very, very much newsworthy. And I'm sure there are a lot of people around the league that would like to see one of these deals made to take the attention away from what came out a little bit ago about the Astros.
Well, don't you believe that the Cubs are waiting because they need to figure out, does Chris Bryant have 1 year or 2 years left?
Yeah, and not just that. I mean, what if they are getting closer to a Javi Baez long-term deal? Maybe they get Javi at the terms that they're comfortable with, you know? So, I mean, there are a couple of dynamics up there with regard to what direction they may go.
But then I don't truly believe that the Cubs are bringing back the same guys. The Cubs are just waiting for this ruling to figure out who then they trade. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're not bringing back all their guys. They're not going to just stamp in and do nothing. They're waiting.
Well, what if they don't get anything, you know, reasonable for what they have?
Well, right. I guess you don't want to give away anybody.
I mean, you're going to have to do something and get creative then because you know they're going to get under the luxury tax, correct?
Yes.
So how are you going to do that?
Well, you got to trade someone probably. I mean, but you don't want to give away guys either.
So if you are a team that's interested in Chris Bryant, okay, and you know the Cubs, to get under the luxury tax, the simplest way to do it is to get rid of Chris Bryant. Aren't you playing chicken with the Cubs then, too?
Depends how badly you want him. Do you really want Chris Bryant? I mean, it's not like you're trading for some fourth outfielder.
No, but you have other options these days in terms of difference-making players. You could get Chris Bryant. You could get Mookie Betts. You could get Francisco Lindor. You could get Nolan Arenado. I mean, there are a lot of guys who fit into that category as difference-making players. They don't all play the same position. But
the other baseball story, ESPN had this story earlier that, according to a source, the Major League Baseball is going to roll with robot umpires this spring. Now, this doesn't include in the article if this is for all of spring training in just some test games. Because I texted Jesse and I said, Jesse, is this for the entire spring training? And his philosophy was he's not sure because don't home plate umpires still have to work on their strike zone too? Because they're not going to be doing this for the regular season. So don't you want to have games where guys are behind the plate actually calling balls and strikes?
Yes, I think that would make sense. I think Abdallah had the most interesting, I entertained the most interesting thought with regard
Abdallah?
To this.
I think what they should do is they should do half the game, do an exact even number of games. So do half the games with the robot umpire and half the games with the real umpires and just compare. Say, which is more accurate? If the robot umpires are more accurate, they win. They get to be set into motion as the robots take
over.
You're
making it like a Bachelor
absolutely.
Episode.
Everything, well, just like
everything
a fight.
Is a Bachelor episode this time of year for Adam.
Yeah, and then if the humans win, then the humans win. And maybe what they could then do is send a human back from the future and try to get ahead of this robot umpire thing and take away the technology like in the Terminator. Trump. And we could do that. We could have like a Terminator robot umpire situation.
Okay, that's not the part I was excited about. I thought that was cool is that you don't tell anyone
and then you
which
look
games
at the data.
And then you look at the data.
And look how much different it was when the humans called it and how much more accurate
Correct.
It was.
But to do that, you would actually have to have the consent of the Major League Baseball umpires. And I don't know how excited they would be to participate in an exercise like this that ultimately will remove some of their input in the game.
There's a guy who tweets us a lot, Dan. You know Dan who tweets, he tweets all of us. Big fan of the show, big baseball fan. His philosophy was, based on the cheating scandal with the Astros, is the robot umpires are going to increase pace of play and action. Because A, it's always going to be a strike. And B, players know what's a strike now and what's not a strike. So therefore, they will put the ball in play more because they know what the actual strike zone is. It doesn't by the day or even by the inning because a human is making that subjective call.
And I think it will cut down on the number of strikeouts.
Oh, absolutely.
So what you have now is right. So what makes the game long now? It's the walk. It's the home run. It's the strikeout. I mean, it's...
But maybe more people hit baseballs because pitches that are out of the zone are not be called strikes anymore.
No, but I don't think you'll have...
They don't have to chase a bad pitch.
I don't think you're going to have as many walks or strikeouts. I think the number of both will be cut down.
Let's carry this over. I'll give you some explanations on this, but it sounds like this got me very excited today, guys. I think because they're experimenting here in spring training that this could only be a year or two away from actually happening. 312-332-3776.
You know what that does as well? That makes your catcher on the north side even more valuable.
Because
I'll
he doesn't have to... That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So the robot umpires are coming, but MLB doesn't want you to call it that. They feel like it's a misperception. He said, Rob Manfred said, cautioned Wednesday, that referring to the system as robots may be an overstatement and emphasized that from the fans' perspective, it looks exactly like it does today. And if you never saw that old Real Sports episode, we've talked about this for years. The way it goes is there is an earpiece the home plate umpire wears.
Why don't we just get rid of the earpiece and just clang trash cans instead?
That's what the Astros do.
Two clangs for a strike, one clang for a ball.
You say that, but in this era where guys are cheating and have the buzzers and everything, are they concerned about hacking into the strike system?
Oh, and calling a strike a ball?
Yeah. And calling a... And you know...
How do we trust the system? How do we trust Hal?
It's a good point.
Who got hacked? Didn't the Cardinals hack someone? Or?
Yes. And guy's in jail.
The Astros.
Guy's in jail.
It really wasn't a hack as much. He hacked him, but he knew the passwords.
Didn't he used to work for the Astros, too?
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't a real hacking.
Well, I mean, but he worked for the Cardinals then. All those Astros, they just... The cheaters.
That's now like a dirty word. Instead of ass blank, they're Astros.
Yeah, by the way.
So you just use Astros? Hey, you're an Astro. use it as a defaming word, right?
Mm-hmm. I got you on that.
Meller, you're an Astro.
Well, you're an Astro right back at you.
Yeah, okay.
There.
Well, kiss my Astro.
This was their owner last night. He won, like, Executive of the Year in the Houston sports market.
Well-timed.
Huh?
Well-timed.
I know, right? Jim Crane. So he's talking about how they're going to get together and come up with an apology.
You know, the players have been beaten up a little bit, and I think, you know, they've been all spread out. I saw some of the things yesterday on with the guys interviewed. They're just kind of getting some advice to take it easy. When we get down to spring training, we'll all get them together, and they'll come out with a strong statement as a team, and I think, you know, apologize for what happened, and we'll move forward.
They just had Astros Fest, and not one of them wanted to apologize. They all basically doubled down that, hey, we're good, and we're the reason why we're good, and we're going to be back in the World Series just to prove all you guys wrong. But now here's the owner saying they're going to get together in a month.
You think they're going to be...
the players are going to issue an
apology. First thing they do is they pass out caps, spikes, and elbow guards because people are going to be coming in high and hard, so to speak.
Police Act didn't think so. Don't you think people will throw at them?
I'm not sure. I do. Going back to the robot umpire concept, I think that I didn't even think about the possibility that it's a hackable system. But I am excited to see it in use because, as you were saying, I didn't see the real sports piece. But there is really no delay in the call.
This is what happens. So if it is not hacked, the umpire wears an earpiece. And there are two ways to alert the umpire, through the earpiece and like a light on the scoreboard. And as the pitch crosses, instantaneously, it registered as a ball or a strike. The guy in the umpire's ear says ball, and he goes, ball. And like when you're watching this in real time, you don't notice a difference. I mean, some of these umpires with the ump show, they wait for their calls anyway. They do a little
pause.
They
just grunt.
So there'll still be a guy motioning ball and strike. You'll still need him to make out and safe calls, fair and foul calls, and to relay all this. So you're not really taking work away. All you're doing is making the strike zone more accurate, which is good for everybody. And this is what Rob Manfred said. He says the current strike zone design is actually three-dimensional, and a camera is better at calling a three-dimensional strike zone than the human eye.
Makes sense.
Well, you'll get consistency, and right. I think this is to the point. Yeah, the hitters will go to the plate knowing they'll be trained to know exactly every day when they go to the plate what the strike zone is. They won't have to worry about that game having a generous umpire behind the plate who's given the extra 2 inches on each side of the corner and making it more difficult to protect. In return, I think you'll see hitters adapt and be able to put more balls in play because they're not worried about swinging at balls. They'll be conditioned for what exactly the strike zone is, and they will adjust, and it will be a better game, I think.
I think it's going to be as big an adjustment for pitchers as it's going to be for hitters. I mean, everyone's going to have to get used to.
Bring up the Wilson Contreras thought.
Well, my thought was, I think that Wilson Contreras becomes more valuable to a team the less you're worrying about framing pitches. So if Wilson Contreras, who's not good at framing pitches, doesn't have to worry about framing pitches because there's a robot ump, doesn't he now become more valuable in a trade?
Of course. And isn't that, I've always complained about this. It's like flopping in basketball. Isn't pitch framing, the strategy of pitch framing, cheating? It's basically cheating. It's to frame a pitch that's a ball to look like a strike. You are trying to fool the umpire by taking a ball, just like a player on the court who gets, quote, run over and he flops.
You're trying to influence the call of the official.
Yes. So why wouldn't you want a pitcher not to get squeezed?
I think it works for everybody. Now, I don't know collectively how the players feel about it. And I'm sure that there will be some dissent from the umpires union because while you'll still, in my world, you still have an umpire behind home plate. He's got to call safe and out at home, plays at home. He's also got to help facilitate the calls. You know that the umpire union probably is going to have a beef, aren't they?
Too bad.
Why? I know you say that, Waddle, but like ultimately, that's just a power trip then.
Of course,
but think about it. Like ultimately, you get used to it. As an ump doing that, it's less you have to worry about.
But think about it, Jeff, also. I mean, look, you get graded, don't you? You get rewarded with going to the postseason. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's not something that can't be overcome. Of course it can. I'm just telling you all of these things are going to have to be agreed upon, and there will be some T's crossed, some I's dotted, and some things that need to be taken care of, you know, to get it all in play full time.
Tim's in Naperville. Tim, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I kind of had the same idea, but I was thinking maybe glasses or a red light or a green light, so it would be the same thing, instantaneous. And it would be like he was calling the game.
Yeah, that's how it's going to be. I'm telling you, like, I know it sounds more delayed in the way I'm explaining it, but if you watched this real sports piece and you've seen what they've done in the independent league, if you weren't aware that these guys were getting it through their ear, you would think the guy's just calling the play.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to look for it to see it. But as long as you tell me, because the thing that we're trying to avoid is lengthening the game at all.
Right.
I think, and Meller hit it, I think it's actually, there's a good chance that it could shorten the game.
And I think it'll, again, put more balls in play because there'll be less strikeouts because hitters don't have to worry about taking a, you know, or they won't, there won't be that called strike.
That's right.
That is in question.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. I think, you know, when, and everyone's talking about the ball's not in play enough. I think this solves that problem. I'm excited for this.
I'm just tired of guys using the ball in the strike as a subjective thing when it's a factual thing to each hitter. It's measured based on their height, but it is real. It isn't like one day this is a strike and the next day it's not. It should always be a strike. What's a strike is a strike, and what's ball is a ball. It shouldn't be subjectivity. Mad Mac, our buddy from Northwest Indiana, is on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mad Mac?
Hey, so what are you going to do when the White Sox pull into Fenway Park and sitting behind home plate is Bill Belichick and three other guys from the Patriots, and they got headphones, antennas, and 12 backpacks? What do you think the spread of that game goes to, like, Boston minus, like, 90?
Yeah, it's good.
And they're all sitting there with Bluetooth jammers. Yeah. Next thing you know, there's porn coming across the scoreboard in center field, and the beer caps are wide
porn?
Open for everybody.
What'd you say? What's coming across?
Yeah, you got a little porn, a little something. You know, Abdallah can fill that one in. Come on, man. You guys are going to run so much technology into. Why do we even bother to play? Why don't we just run replays and gamble on that?
Don't you want a defined strike zone?
Listen, every human being has a different strike zone, right? Then you got to put all that in the computer because that little cheating midget from the Houston Astros is going to say, well, that's not my strike zone. You know, then you're going to stick another guy. You're going to get that guy from the Boston Celtics. Who's the big tall guy that's like 9 feet tall?
Taco.
Yeah,
the Red Sox are going to dress him for a few couple games like Mini Minoso. They're not going to, what the hell's going to hit him? Come on, man. Hey, what I call for is I want to get in. I want to send you guys $20 on Venmo or something. I want to get in on a 25-game teaser, all Zion. What can we do? Under, over, number two blowouts. You know, junk falls out of the jock. What's that going to come in as?
25-team teaser.
Yeah, the odds got to be in your favor. I mean, you've won all these outs.
It's good value, as Waddle would say.
Abdallah, how big a teaser is possible? I mean, what's the maximum number of bets you could
file on a teaser? If it's Zion-centric, it's got to be like a parlay.
It can't. I don't even think you can parlay stats. Like, okay, but you can get – they have something where it's like rebounds, total points, rebounds, and assists. So you can combine them into one bet, but you can't bet them individually and then parlay them.
You can just stack them on top of each other and keep on, you know, tripling and whatever.
Mad Mac, it was good to meet you at the book.
Hey, I'll see you guys right after you guys return for the Super Bowl with a little app demo for you. You'll love it.
He's like turning into a jerky boy right now.
He's great, though, wasn't he? He was fun to meet.
You know what? In person, he's more serious, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's much more. He did not look and act like I thought he was going to look and act.
No, he was sharp. He was sharp.
He was the guy, if for those who listen to the show, who called like a week ago and he said, I've got an app that's going to change the way you call into a sports radio show.
And I like his app.
And it was he had a whole presentation. Abdallah, did you give our bosses the presentation?
I have not given them the full presentation yet, but I have the materials.
You said that you would deliver
it
to our bosses.
I never said that I wouldn't. I have them.
Can you imagine if Mad Mac and us were like partners in something? Complete chaos.
Oh, chaos. Total galore, chaos. Yeah. The app would include...
Guys, I'm going to take all of our earnings. I'm going to put it on 10 Zion Williamson teasers.
Bill's in Des Moines. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I've got a comment and then a question for you guys. My comment is, even if the robot umpire goes into effect, the home plate umpire still is going to need to call balls and strikes.
Right.
Because I work with computers every day, and they're bound to fail. So there's going to have to be a backup, and there's going to have to stay in practice with it. Then my question is, why don't pitchers, catchers, and managers use earpieces like they do in the NFL between head coaches and quarterbacks? That would eliminate any kind of signal or sign stealing.
So, like, you're saying the pitcher and the catcher, and that way he could call the game through the pitcher's ear.
Yeah.
Well, so he would have to verbally. Okay, the pitcher or the catcher would have to verbally.
Right, because of the hitter's right
so
there.
So the hitter's standing right there. Now, if the pitcher was talking into his glove and telling you what pitch he wanted.
Well, like, it's been suggested that technology, you could actually use, like, Apple Watches or something going forward.
In modern-day baseball, don't the managers call 90% of the balls and strikes?
Depends who it is. It depends. I mean, there are some catchers who have the autonomy to call the own game, and there are other people who get the signs.
How often is that really happening, though? The managers are calling every pitch?
Or like the pitching coach or someone, right. You'll see the catcher consistently looking over to the dugout.
I'm hoping that one of the things that they do going forward is turn everything off. While games,
I think Plesak said that. Yeah. I got some football stuff for you. There's one former NFL player who has a big tip on who should. A suggestion. Let me phrase this. There is one former NFL player who has a major suggestion for who the Bears should acquire to play quarterback in 2020. That's next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Good conversation on robot umpires coming to spring training this year. We'll see how many games they do it, if it's the entire spring training. And like the caller said, and Jesse said to me, the umps have to work on their strike zone. Yeah. So they're
going to change the game in a lot of ways. Like somebody was tweeting us, you know, the days of the Greg Maddux and other players that, you know, were famous for working the corners, the black of the plate.
They weren't even working that part. They were working each batter's box. They were getting called strikes.
Right. I mean, it's going to change.
I want to play you something from Pat McAfee. So Pat McAfee is very entertaining. He works on ESPN, does a lot of TV on Get Up. He also has his own radio show, and he's always been an entertaining guy. If you forget who Pat McAfee was as a football player, he was a very good punter for the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm. And decided to retire and get into broadcasting, even when many thought he still had a lot left in his leg.
He's also crazy.
He's crazy?
Yeah, he's crazy.
In a good way.
Yeah, but Pat McAfee had a caller on his show call in about the Bears quarterback situation, and then you'll hear him analyze what he thinks the Bears should do.
Marcus Mariota going to the Bears. The Bears will go 13-3. Oh. Marcus Mariota is a natural-born winner.
He's not. Yeah. No, he actually isn't. Like, that's why the Titans had to bench him. Like, that's literally why. I love Marcus Mariota as a person. I like that they still have him have a play or two in a game. I mean, having him come in a freezing cold game, like a quarter and a half into it, and making him do a sprint to the left, and having him outrun people, by the way. I think that is very impressive for Marcus Mariota. But, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, by all accounts, is not like this earth-shattering quarterback. Now, I might be wrong. I think we'll talk about the Tannehill situation here directly after this comment. I don't know if Marcus Mariota is a guy that you want if you're the Chicago Bears instead of Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, both quarterbacks are quarterbacks that have showed promise but have lacked the ability to win games. That's exactly what they both have in common. Now, will a new place just like Tannehill give Marcus Mariota a restart? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I just don't know if that's the answer. If I was the Chicago Bears, I'd be trying to get Cam Newton, I think. I'd be trying to get Cam Newton. Because what's the worst that could happen? He stinks. Yeah, stink anyways.
Have you heard the rumors?
No.
Mr. Nick Foles.
Oh, really? Big Richard.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I don't know. What are you going to do with Nick Foles? You got to pick up that contract, too. It's a massive contract. I don't know why you do it. What's Cam Newton? $21 million or $19 million next year?
$19
million next year. I assume that's smaller than what Nick Foles is getting? Nick Foles probably around 25 or something.
Yeah, probably. Yep.
So you could save a little money. But is Nick Foles, was he not given a fair shakedown in Jacksonville? He was balling. He actually threw a touchdown on the game that he separated his shoulder or something like that. So maybe he didn't get a fair shakedown there with that team. Maybe. Or maybe he just wasn't that great outside of Philadelphia. He just had a good run. So I wouldn't mind that. I'm happy that the Bears are thinking about making a move, though. Yeah. It's the third largest city in America. Great fans. Their team hasn't been relevant forever, honestly. The double doink's the most relevant thing they've been a part of, and that's them missing. That's them not making it. I'm sure I like the Bears a lot. I hope they get going.
They need to take advantage of how good their defense is.
That's what I'm saying. And their defense, like, stopped trying, basically, during the season. They're like, come on, man.
Where is the evidence? I mean, there's a lot there, but where is the evidence that the Bears are actually looking to make a move? Are people connecting the dots that there are a lot of guys that have been added to this coaching staff, and also including Matt Nagy trying to connect the dots to Nick Foles? Nick Foles signed a 4-year, $88 million contract last year with like $50-plus million guaranteed. You would have to, unless they cut him, which they can't cut him, because I would assume that would escalate all of their dead money. And even if you trade someone, what most people don't believe, when you trade a guy with a contract like that, there are still penalties in terms of how the money sits on the salary cap of the team that's trading him. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, and Mello, you're better capologist than me, I think there are situations where, like, the Jags trade Foles, and yet he still counts a significant amount on their cap at least for a year.
Right.
So the thought of bringing Nick Foles here, because Flip was on the staff at Philadelphia, and Matt Nagy
has
some connections.
He was his quarterback coach the year they won the Super Bowl.
Look, I mean, maybe they would like it, but I don't know how you do that. You'd have to trade for him, and he's got an enormous contract.
well done.
Now, Cam Newton is a different. There's an interesting suggestion there. What do you have to give up to get him? And if you're the Carolina Panthers and you just brought in, what's his name, Brady from, not Tom Brady, but Joe Brady from, wouldn't you want to see what Cam may have left in Joe Brady's system? Why are you so ready to get rid of him?
I don't know. That's gone back and forth. At one time when he was benched and things were going okay for Carolina, they're like, oh, they're going to move on from him. And now after both quarterbacks sort of failed,
right,
now they're like, well, what does it hurt to bring him back for only 1 year, $17 million?
And as you heard, his contract is not out of this world for a quarterback.
Well, you know, initially it seemed like Cam Newton was going to come back. But I've also heard now with the new owner who just bought the team, billionaire. Yeah, he's very willing to embrace analytics. And he gave Matt Rhule and Joe Brady both big monster deals, long-term contracts. They might be willing, actually, to embrace a tank for this season so that they could put themselves in good position to draft someone like Trevor Lawrence. Thus, why they might be willing to deal someone like Cam Newton. I've heard that floated out there.
You know, and they've been rumored, too, to be a team that if Cincinnati is willing to trade.
They're not.
To trade up. Right. Yeah. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've said that we're not.
They said that now, but the Bengals say weird stuff.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they traded that pick. But if you were a Bears fan, I would think that of all of the options out there, Cam Newton, because it's only 1 year left on the deal, right?
Yes, and he's got a high ceiling.
That one would make more sense. I go back to the comment I made at the beginning, though, is I'm not getting the impression at all. I'm not close to the situation, but I'm not getting the impression that they're looking for an answer like that or to make a move like that.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't they? Because you're going to have to sign a new backup quarterback. Chase Daniel is a free agent.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you get a guy who has a higher ceiling and a guy who can play more?
Who's that going to be? If it's Cam
Newton.
The most
important position.
If it's Cam Newton, you're going to have to trade for him, right?
Right. Andy Dalton, you may have to trade
for as
well.
You're going to trade for him as well.
You could sign Mariota. Mariota, like, just fits everything where Ryan Pace at one time liked him a lot.
He's got
a high ceiling and a low cost.
This is why I think Mariota is the best option, and it's the option you pointed to well before the season came to an end. In his first 2 years in the league, Marcus Mariota was a 19-touchdown, 10-interception guy with a quarterback rating of 92, threw for 2,800 yards. The next year, in 2016... he threw for 3,400 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Everyone's like,
do you remember the red zone numbers too with him? Didn't he have like 0 interceptions in the red zone?
Yeah, he was like 30 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the red zone. You get to 2017 and things go sideways. 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. 2018, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And then he got pulled after 7 games or 6 games in this year. So people are going to possibly that had a like or an affinity for him early in his career and point to years 1 and 2 and go, hey, there's something in there. It's not going to be a heavy cost. He's a great teammate. Watch how he handled the situation, in Nashville.
He plays the system that you're running right now.
That's my point. So to me, that's the most likely situation that could. Because, again, if you buy what Yurko and I feel, at least partially, that they're afraid if you open up a competition, it's not going to go well for him. You could bring Marcus Mariota in here, who they would view as a better version of the backup quarterback than Chase Daniel is, and you're still riding with Mitch.
If you're scared that it's going to go bad on a competition, isn't that all you need to know about? Because if it's going to go bad in a competition, that means it's going to go bad for you in the regular season.
Could.
So then why? That rationale never makes sense to me.
Well, I understand your frustration from it. But again, what they're thinking of, I still don't believe. I believe two things strongly about quarterbacks and teams. I believe Tom Brady's going back to New England because it's the best fit for him. And I believe Mitch Trubisky is your unfettered quarterback, starting quarterback when the season starts here in Chicago.
All right, we'll continue this conversation. And it's time for my wife or radio partner. Would you like to play? Would you like to win some steak? Some really, really good steak. 312-332-3776. Caller 50 gets to play. I've got the clues today. Who made the statement? Is it my wife or is it Tom Waddle? It's coming up next.
It's now time for my wife or my radio partner.
My wife. Nah, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or my radio partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My wife or my radio partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle, people still love it. 4:45 every Wednesday. It's my wife, a radio partner, a little peek behind the curtain, whether it's here at work or it's involving our wives. It's called My Wife, a Radio Partner. It's brought to you by our friends at Swift and Sons.
My wife's back playing tennis, so happy life in my house right now.
Oh, her hips better?
Well, she got a cortisone shot, so Not only is there a lot of Australian championship tennis on, but lots of smiles around my house as my wife's back on the court.
Today she had a double.
That is correct. Yeah. That'd be weird if the moaning was going on.
She's very passionate about the game. I mean, she wants to win.
Yeah.
Swift and Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. You know, tonight there's a big Bulls game.
Yeah.
When the Timberwolves and the Bulls get together,
look out.
It's
throw the records out.
So you go to Swift and Sons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do.
Before and
even during. So you may just say, I think I'm going to stay here.
Don't worry. If the magic show runs over, if you get the magic show, don't worry about it.
And by magic show, do you mean Zach LaVine scoring 21 in the fourth quarter?
No, I'm talking about the magician that walks around Swift and Sons.
There's a magician. You could hire him, and it will blow your mind. Yes.
That's awesome.
Here's what we had when we went to Swift and Sons. Do you remember this, Miller? The 48-ounce porterhouse?
Oh, absolutely.
We split this thing four ways between the four of us. And Kevin, Meller, me, and Abdallah. And we were supposed to go to the Hawks game, and we never showed up, and we left Cap staying there. Well,
we showed up in the second period.
Yeah, we got there in the second period.
Did Meller eat the expensive risotto as well?
That is a seasonal option, Waddle, so that wasn't there. But look, it doesn't matter what season it is. The apps are always great. And the magician is there, I think, Tuesday through Saturday. So,
and the Boca Restaurant Group won the big award for the Beard Award, the Restaurant Tours of the Year. And nationally, that's a national award. Congratulations to Kevin Bay and Rob Katz.
Yes.
So Swift and Sons is a great place right near the United Center. Head there before and after Hawks, Bulls, and concerts at the United Center. All right, our contestant today is Sean in Edison Park. It's one of our favorite neighborhoods in the city. Yeah. Hey, Sean, what's going on?
Hey, it's all good. What's going on, boys?
Have you been to one of our shows in Edison Park?
Yeah, I saw you guys at EPI. Absolutely.
Yes, be careful there. You shouldn't drive fast in any neighborhood, but if you drive fast there, they have the giant speed bumps. You'll drop your transmission.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You be careful.
You remember that about Edison Park.
Listen, maybe because I had transmission problems afterwards. I'm just trying to help our listeners.
And they are gigantic ones.
They are enormous, yes. I'm just trying to tell you, slow it down.
All right, here's the way we play, Sean. You probably know how. You need 2 out of 3 correct. Today it's the clues that I'm offering, and you have to guess whether it's Waddle or my wife. If Waddle made the statement, this is what you're going to hear. If my wife made the same, and this is what you're going to hear.
This old man, he played one.
Pretty
he
simple.
Yep.
All right, here we go. 2 out of 3 gets you the steak at Swift & Sons.
Doesn't have to be steak. It could be something else.
Right. I like the surf and turf, matter of fact. Statement number one, he's a furry guy. He's a furry guy.
He's a furry guy. All right. I'm going to say Waddle, radio player.
Hot dog, very good. You remember this? This was yesterday.
That could have some odd reference, no?
It is an odd reference.
Yeah. Can you fill us in?
Do you guys remember Behind the Glass? I wrote it down right away. The Baseball Hall of Fame voting came on yesterday on the MLB Network, and Brian Kenny is the moderator, the host. And Waddle looked at Brian
Kenny.
He's
got a full head of hair.
And Waddle said he's a furry guy.
Yeah, I was just talking about his hair.
Oh, is that what you meant?
Yeah, well, I couldn't see his arm hair. He had a suit on. He's got a big head of hair. Listen, that's not a bad thing.
So that was a compliment.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. All you need is one more, Sean. Statement number 2. Stop posting on my Facebook page. Stop posting on my Facebook page.
Ooh. I'm going to say, honey, your wife.
Yeah, it's not me. I mean, why would I be posting on your Facebook page?
Here's what happened. I accidentally connected one of our Instagram accounts to my wife's Facebook page. And when I send out the promo video now, like today it was zooming in on Waddle's face, it goes on to my wife's story on her Facebook page.
Oh, nobody wants that.
She keeps getting comments from her friends saying, why is this stuff here? And she yelled at me. She's 2 nights in a row she's yelled at me. And she figured it out. Stop posting on my Facebook page.
That's great.
That is. So. What's great is you were correct 2 out of 2, which means you win the gift card.
You want to go for the sweep?
Let's go. Bring it.
For you know what's in giggles.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Statement number 3. If you Google Milton Berle, will it show up? If you Google Milton Berle, will it show up?
I'm going to go radio partner.
Of course.
I don't think my wife knows who Milton Berle is.
I think you ought to describe that to her tonight over dinner.
Milton Berle is known for much like...
He was a great entertainer.
Like Nick Foles.
He was a great quarterback who won as a backup quarterback, he won a Super Bowl.
He had a reputation.
As being a great quarterback in a time of need?
Yes. No. Is Milton Berle still
Uncle
with us?
Milty. I don't believe so. I don't think I don't think any part of Uncle Milty is with us. I just thought
in 2002.
Yeah, I thought because
But the legend lives on.
Yeah, because of all of the talk about it, that maybe that would be part of... Yeah.
They had to bury him 7 feet instead of 6.
Dole's here today, ladies and gentlemen.
Sean, congrats. That's a sweep, and that's a stake for you.
There you go.
Enjoy Swift and Sons.
They certainly didn't bury him face down, did they, Adam?
There's a beautiful banana.
Why did you bring up Milton Berle? How did this come up?
The conversation?
Yes, it was just the other day that you brought up Milton Berle. And again, this guy's been gone for 18 years now.
I don't remember.
It's unbelievable.
I don't remember. What was our Milton Berle conversation?
Well, I know why we got there. I'm trying to remember why he came up, though.
I forget.
I know.
No, he just wants to go,
Is that a hmm like you know?
No,
but you're not willing
to
tell
us? I'm honestly trying to remember why
we
came up.
We should give something away to somebody if they remember why we were talking about
it. Memory.
This wasn't on the
air. It wasn't on the air?
This was off,
yeah. Oh, it was, okay.
This was in the office in the back.
Really?
This was in our second office.
Yeah, because we were like, if you Google him, will this come up? If you, is it in his Wikipedia page?
About Milton Berle that most people knew about if you grew up, when we grew up.
I believe I was making the argument that that's what he's best known for.
Yes. And somehow, some way, before we do a sports talk radio show,
we're Googling Uncle Milty.
We're wondering if it would.
If you say these two words to play word association game, that's what we're going to do when Gian Greco joins us at 5:35. Okay.
Okay.
You look at Gian Greco and just say,
"Well, he's don't fill
him
too.
In, of course, but don't fill him in and just say, "Mark, we're going to play a quick game of word association." Okay. And just say Milton Berle, and see what he says.
Okay.
Buy me some penis.
I didn't say Matt
and Cracker Jack.
I'm telling you, if they would have scored 24 a game, you'd have heard a T. The fact that they averaged 18 and a half a game this year, 18 a game, I can't hear the T.
Well,
any
see, that I don't believe it's that. I believe you, like you know my philosophy that he was telling us something. He was giving us a message that that's what he had in store for us this year.
It's all downhill from there.
Some penis and crack.
He didn't want us to know there was a T. He wanted us to hear that because it was a sign.
I heard a T coming off a 12-4 season and a trip to the postseason. I definitely heard a T. I didn't hear a T.
All right. Michael Wilbon joins us next. What should the penalty be in a major brawl in college basketball? Also, what does he think about some conspiracy theories about last night's Q celebration? It's next, Can't Miss Radio with Michael Wilbon.